This is Joanna Schrader reporting from Hugoton, Kansas, and I am with Robert White with the Renewable Fuels Association. Robert, this is our third Cellulosic opening here in the last couple of weeks, and you know, being an organization that promotes renewable fuels and has always had to tell the mess of it's coming, what do you want consumers to know?
Well, it's amazing over the 15 years I've been in ethanol how many times we said it's 5 years away, and it's not 5 years away. In fact, it's history now. And to be here on this historic day in my home state to welcome in a cellulosic facility, Abengoa should be proud. The citizens of Stevens County should be proud. And, you know, Americans should be proud because this phantom fuel, as the naysayers like to call it, is here. It is here to stay. And it's amazing to see the innovation that's been put out here on the Kansas Prairie. And we're excited to continue to see more companies invest more into cellulosic technology, and even our brethren on the corn ethanol side start to do bolt-on technologies like we've seen with Quad County, and see that success continue.
Well, Robert, I want to ask you a little bit about the renewable fuel standard. We're struggling right now. We don't have the 2014 final rule yet. The EPA is supposed to release a 2015 proposed rule in November. We can probably assume that's not going to happen. But from your association standpoint, can you talk a little bit about the work you're doing in Washington, D.C. to address the fact that the EPA needs to recognize the amount of fuel in this marketplace and get over this so-called blend wall that really shouldn't be existing?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of different things that everyone must consider. The EPA, ultimately Congress, passed the renewable fuel standard in 05, expanded it in 07. You heard both Senator Roberts and Governor Brownback talk about their work in getting that legislation passed and expanded. But that was almost a promise. It was a promise to investors. It was a promise to companies like Abengoa that we'll be here for you. We support what you're doing. And no matter what happens, no matter how the winds change, we'll be here for you. And this signal is completely the opposite. You heard Abengoa's CEO discuss that if EPA can't stick to their guns and somehow lowers the RVOs, that this may be the last cellulosic plant ever opened. There may never be another celebration like this, and that's sad but true. I mean, the signal will have ramifications for many years to come, and not just millions but billions of dollars. And what we've tried to tell EPA, we've tried to tell OMB and the White House and everyone in the administration, for that matter, is that this promise was made years ago, and you need to stick to it. And if you're going to alter it in some fashion, it needs to be within the parameters of the statute. And so far, EPA has not been able to demonstrate to us or anyone else how that could come about. And so while a lot of people are focused on the number, what the ultimate RVO number will be, we're focused on the methodology because we're pretty confident that it won't get back to the statutory levels. We also think it won't be as low as the proposed levels. But we're focused on how did you come to that conclusion, and that's really what we're waiting to see, and it looks like it'll be after election before we know.
Well, what's it going to take for the promises that were made to be followed through? I mean, how many times does the ethanol industry need to produce more and more every year with less land and less acreage? I mean, what is it going to take for them to realize that the industry can far exceed the goals set out in the renewable fuel standard?
Well, if I think and I believe if they don't do it within the parameters of the statute and authority that they have, it will be a lawsuit. It will be a legal battle. And, you know, there's been a lot of legal battles in the ethanol industry over the years, but this is a very promising one that we would win. The statute is very clear on what supply and demand opportunities are there and what has to exist for EPA to make those adjustments. They've used it very well with the cellulosic ethanol volumes over the past few years. But when they start tapping into the corn ethanol side, they start looking at the biodiesel side, all with all the opportunities in the world, and really have fallen for the gimmick of the blend wall created by the petroleum industry. It's going to be a long road, but one we're confident that if it comes to a true challenge that we can win.
Well, Robert, you hit the nail on the head when you said if promises aren't kept, this could be the last celebration we have for our cellulosic ethanol facility. So how do we get, because it doesn't seem like the government's going to help this industry, on behalf of the industry, or for consumers for that matter, how are we going to get private investment back into these plans to make sure that we see another celebration?
Well, I still think it comes back to the RFS. The RFS, if altered, it really is just a 10% ethanol mandate. You know, E10 will be what we have sprinkled in with some E15 and E85. But to expand beyond that, you've either got to have Congress involved with something like the RFS, which I hope obviously continues to be a part of our environment, but also it's going to take investment in infrastructure. We've seen the ethanol industry step forward and put it, you know, some millions of dollars into infrastructure. We continue to see, you know, the Clean Cities programs, the Corn Grower Associations continue to funnel in their private investment. But it really needs to take a fundamental change of thinking, I guess, and that, you know, these gas stations are not just petroleum stations, they're energy stations, and it shouldn't matter, and it doesn't to most of them, if they're selling milk, maple syrup, ethanol, or gasoline through their dispensers. They need volume and margin, and the tactics by the oil industry, we've released multiple reports this year showing that the well-targeted campaign on their efforts, not only in Washington, but within the retail petroleum industry, to preclude and to create this false blend wall. It will take time. It will take more assurances, I believe. You heard that today here at Abengoa's grand opening. But I think that we can get to a point where we understand that the future of fossil fuels is limited and it's going to be expensive as it gets more limited. And renewable energy, renewable products like ethanol, and other biofuels, cellulosic ethanol, corn ethanol, what have you, is going to be an investment that, in the long run, is going to pay off and pay off dearly.